Today, we're going to begin to look at the names that Jesus gave himself. And if you were with us last week, we talked about the fact that his names are important for us to know and to remember because of the fact that he is completely human, completely divine, and it is through him that we have eternal life. Today, we're going to talk about a name that ties very closely with what we just did in looking at the body and the blood of Jesus. In John chapter 6, and if you have a Bible, please turn there because we're gonna look at a number of things from it here. But Jesus, in this chapter, he's dealing with the selfishness of the people whom he had just fed the day before through a miracle. Okay? That day, Jesus was preaching in a remote place, and his disciples came to him and said, "Hey, these people are getting hungry, and you should dismiss them so that they can go into the towns and villages nearby and buy food." And Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, "They don't need to go anywhere. You give them something to eat." And Andrew finds a young man, a young boy there, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And this young man gives his lunch to Jesus, and Jesus takes that gift given by that young boy, and he divides it among 5,000 men who were there, along with the women and the children. Most likely there would have been anywhere from 10 to 15,000 people. 5 loaves of bread. 2 small fish. And we're told in the Gospels that everyone had all that they wanted to eat. And if my sons were in the audience, that would have been a lot. But even after, there were 12 basketfuls of food left over. So this is the miracle that had happened the day before. And as you or I would, probably, the crowds who had been fed by Jesus followed and found him the next day, hoping that he would replicate the miracle that he had just done for them. But Jesus, knowing their hearts, begins teaching them about a better bread. The discussion then comes around to our scripture reading this morning, found in verses 32 through 40 of John chapter 6. So please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word, and let's read this together. John chapter 6, verses 32 through 40. Let's read it together. Here we go. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word that teaches us who you are, who Jesus is. Lord, I pray that as we delve into this idea of what it means that Jesus is the bread of life, that we would hear from you. I pray that the words of my mouth would not be mine, but that they would be yours and that you would take them and use them in the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish what needs to happen in each one of our lives this morning. And Lord, ultimately we look to you because you are the one, you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. You are the one who has drawn us to Jesus. You are the one who has given us the grace that we needed so that we might believe, so that we might follow, and so that we might live for him. Lord, I pray today that all of those things would be moving in our hearts and in our minds as we open your word this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you a little bit about one of my favorite movie franchises of all time. I want to talk to you about a movie called The Lord of the Rings. Specifically, the first film called The Fellowship of the Ring. There's a moment in this movie in which the hobbits and their guide, Strider, are walking through a very desolate place. As they're walking, the hobbits stop the pony and begin setting up for a meal. Strider, a good 10 feet ahead of them, stops and turns around, notices what they're doing and says, "We will not be stopping today until nightfall." One of the hobbits, by the name of Pippin, says, "What about breakfast?" Strider looks at him and says, "You've already had breakfast." Pippin says, "One breakfast, yes. But what about second breakfast?" Strider looks at him with this incredulous look and turns and walks away. Pippin's best friend, Mary, says to him, "I don't think he knows about second breakfast, Pip." Pippin, forlorn and scared out of his mind, then asks Mary, "What about elevensies? Luncheon? Afternoon tea? Dinner? Supper? He knows about those, don't he?" Mary said, sad for Pippin, looks him in the eye and said, "I wouldn't count on it." Pippin's heart, of course, many of the hobbits in that story, their heart was focused on their meals and their food. When I was young, Sunday dinner was a huge thing in our home. Sometimes we'd have it at our house. Sometimes we'd have it at my grandma and grandpa's house. Sometimes we'd even go out and eat someplace fancy. But the fact remained that if it was Sunday, it was a day for some good food with our family. The truth of the matter is that many of us, whether hobbit or human, we have memories around the food that we eat and the meals that we share. Such was the case for the nation of Israel. They were told from a very early age about the wanderings of their people as they came to the promised land and how God had provided for them, provided a way of escape from slavery in Egypt, provided a way through the Red Sea as the Egyptians came and tried to chase them. But most of the time, the people of Israel remembered a time when God miraculously provided bread for them in the desert. They called it manna, which means, "What is this?" Literally, that's what manna means. What is this? But it was a bread that appeared on the ground every morning. They took what they needed for the day. They ate it. And the manna would appear again the next day and the next day. The only day it would not appear was on the Sabbath. The day before the Sabbath, they would collect twice as much as they would need. And God provided for them. The Israelites wore their history as a badge of honor, that God would choose to bless them in this way. But now, in John chapter 6, these people had received a bread from the hand of Jesus, miraculously once again, and they wanted more. Jesus, in our scripture reading today, told them the difference between the bread he was offering, the difference between that bread and the bread they had had the day before, and even the difference between the bread that Moses gave them. And he makes a very unique distinction in verses 23 or 32 and 33 when he says, "Very truly I tell you, it's not Moses that gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven." Jesus makes a distinction that our bread comes from God. Everything that we have comes from God. We think of bread as a staple, yes? We think of bread as something that gives us life, that we make sandwich and we eat and we're no longer hungry, or we make some toast in the morning and put some butter on it and eat it, and it's wonderful, right? But we have to come to a point where we understand that that comes from God. Jesus tells the people that it was God who provided the bread in the wilderness through Moses. God provided bread for the Israelites through Moses, but it was God who provided the bread. It wasn't Moses, it was God. And God provides bread through Jesus for us in our wilderness. We receive the bread of life that comes from heaven, Jesus Christ. Both these breads brought or bring life. In the case of the manna in the wilderness, the life is temporal. People ate the manna in the wilderness and still they died. But the bread that Jesus, that God offers through Jesus, Jesus himself, is the bread of life. It is the bread that is eternal. It is a bread that once eaten becomes fulfilling for our lives for eternity. And Jesus is that bread. Now this is interesting. Look at verse 34, right? Jesus says, go back to verse 33. "The bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Now listen, the people are not missing the point of what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, look, that this bread that God is offering is heavenly bread. It is something that is different from the manna in the wilderness. It's different from the bread that you had yesterday. It is different, but it gives life to the world. And look at the response of the people. The people's request is this: "Sir, always give us this bread." They're not getting it. They're not getting what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, the bread that I give you isn't the bread I gave you yesterday. And if you're thinking that way, then yes, I would have to give you bread over and over and over again. I mean, look at the question, look at the request. Always give us this bread. And then Jesus makes them an offer. Look what he says in verse 35. "I am the bread of life." It's not bread like you think bread. It's me. I am the bread of life. "And if you come and you follow me," Jesus says, "the one whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus is saying to these people, look, I am the bread of life. I am the one who is, if you come and you follow me, if you renounce everything else and put me first, you'll see the result that you will never be hungry and you will never be thirsty. This was similar to the offer that Jesus made the woman at the well. Do you remember that in John chapter 4? He said, "If you were to ask me, I would give you water that would well up as a well of living water inside of you, and you'd never be thirsty again." And what did the lady say? Very same thing that these people said. "If that's true, sign me up. I want that kind of water. I don't want to have to come back here and get the water in the middle of the day because of who I am and what the other ladies in town think of me. But this is what Jesus is offering them. He's saying, look, if you believe in me, you'll never go hungry. You'll never be thirsty. Now look, that doesn't mean that you won't experience hunger pains in your body. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is saying is that your spiritual hunger and thirst, you will never, ever feel again. But again, he says, what does he say? Whoever comes to me and whoever believes in me, this is what is going to happen. And coming to Jesus, that's not just finding out where he is and standing next to him. It is, as I said, it is a laying down of our life. It is a following his life and doing the things that he did. It is a renouncing of everything else. It's a renouncing of myself. It's a renouncing of my desires. It's a renouncing of my way of life and my way of thinking and putting Jesus first. And listen, this is a process that most Christians, we struggle with throughout most of our life. That as we strive to be more like Christ, we wind up frustrated because the change is so stinking slow. And we expect, well, I've been a Christian for 30 some years and I should be this or I should be that. And yes, in many respects you should. But the problem is that many times we're relying on ourselves and our own strength to become what God wants us to be. And it becomes an outward expression rather than an inward change. We're trying to act like Christians instead of being Christians. We're trying to act holy instead of being holy. We're trying to act like children of God instead of being children of God. And so this is the offer that Jesus makes, and that's the result is that in our spirits we will never be hungry, we will never go thirsty. But then Jesus says something here that really offended a lot of the people he was talking to. He tells them that their unbelief is what is causing them to be hungry. Look at verse 36. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. In other words, he says, look, you saw what I did yesterday, and instead of realizing that I am who I claim to be, you're interested in filling your bellies again. You don't believe the things that I was teaching you yesterday. You don't believe that I am who I claim to be. All those, verse 37 says, well, Jesus says that our unbelief keeps Jesus from being our first priority, from being number one in our life. Here's the question, folks. What's the priority? Is it other things or is it the only thing? Is it Jesus and other things or is Jesus the only thing? Now that doesn't mean there can't be other things in your life. But it does mean that they do not have priority over Jesus. I am so glad of this because if you know, some of the things that I really enjoy doing, like sports and woodworking and those types of things, if Jesus were to say you need to throw all that out, I would, but it would be difficult. But that's not what Jesus is asking us to do. He is simply asking us that he is first. And the reason that there are other things that are more important to us is because Jesus is not the first priority. When other things have priority, Jesus cannot and will not be all you need. And then we see here the people's rejection. When he says in verse 37, he said, all those the Father gives me will come to me. Well, even further down in verse 41, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they began to question who is this man? Who? How can he say that he's all this? Those who were seeking to have their bellies filled, but wanted nothing to do with the sacrifice of following Jesus, were allowing their stomachs to be the priority and not their souls. Paul speaks to this when he talks about end times. Remember that? He says that in the last days, perilous times will come. He says that there will come a time when people are not putting up with sound doctrine, all these different things. And he says this, their God is their stomach. That whatever they want, they're going to go and do. Forget who it hurts. Forget how we get it. There is a rejection that happens here against Jesus because he's saying these things. Jesus goes on and he talks in the last couple of verses about his ability to save. And with this we'll close. He says that I came to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus came to do God's will. He didn't come to do what he wanted to do. He didn't come to have his stomach full or his needs met. He came to do what God had called him to do. And as a result, it was God's will that all who came to Jesus would be saved. And again, this isn't necessarily, these people will be kept. That I am strong enough and I have the ability to hold on to them. We're not talking eternal security, necessarily. We are talking about the fact that Jesus' power to save is not limited to a one-time thing. God's power to save is eternal and powerful. And all those who come to him and believe in him and who seek out the bread of life, to eat the bread of life, will be saved. And Jesus says that he would raise them up. Jesus will raise them up. The Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up. So two things I want to challenge you with this morning. The first is to remember where your bread comes from. It's important for you to remember that your sustenance, And I'm talking about physical bread now, food, that our food comes from God. It doesn't come from the money that we make or the food that we buy. The reality is that God is the one who supplies your bread, your life, your everything. So remember where it all comes from. We need to understand that it's from God that our faith comes. Do you realize that your coming to Christ wasn't necessarily, it was your decision, but it was also God who drew you to him. We need the grace that God gives, the grace to have faith, the grace that results from our faith. It all comes from the one who created us, the one who loves us, the one who has our best interest at heart. When we remember that our food, our clothes, our homes, our health, that all of those things, they all take on new meaning when we remember that they all come from Jesus, that they all come from God. Our salvation is through him. Our salvation is from him. And we can find that in whatever situation that we find ourselves, that we can have a heart of gratitude. And we can praise God. No matter if we have bread that fills us up until we're full, or whether we just have a little bit that staves off starvation. Remember that our bread, our physical bread, our spiritual bread, that all comes from God. It has nothing to do with us except that we partake of it and we say thank you. Second challenge is to be careful to believe. When we drift into unbelief, we run the danger of becoming hungry for things that can never satisfy like Jesus. We chase after things like wealth, pleasure, money, leisure, ease, lust, fame, and all those things of this world because we have not found our satisfaction in Jesus alone. Because somewhere in the depths of our soul, we really don't believe that Jesus is able to fulfill everything for us. The truth of the matter is that when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we begin to fall into that unbelief. We begin to move backward. Paul said in Romans 12:2, "Don't let this world deceive you and squeeze you into its mold." The world, listen, I'm going to let you in on a secret. The world wants you to look just like them because if you do, as a Christian, look just like them, they don't have to change. But God's challenge to us is different, is to be different. He calls us to be like Jesus, standing apart from the crowd, swimming upstream, and challenging the rest of the world to be like Jesus too. Friends, that's not a popular position today. It really isn't. For many of us, our mealtimes are times that make memories. And I pray that will continue to happen for all of us. But our times of gathering here together with God can also be times of great memories as we partake of the bread of life. If we allow God to feed us through Jesus, we will know the greatest satisfaction that our hearts can know. And we will never hunger again. We will never thirst again. All because of Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Jesus, the bread of life. We thank you that in him and through him, we have everything that we need. That in Christ we are fulfilled. That in Christ we are sustained. In Christ, we have eternal life. Lord, I pray that you would be with everyone in this room this morning to know that they have settled this matter with you, that they have indeed partaken of the bread of life, that Jesus is their all in all, that Jesus is their sustenance, Lord. It's what causes us to get up and go in the morning, Lord, that Jesus is the one who gives us the strength and the energy and the ability to do the things that you have called us to do. Lord, help us not to just act like Christians, but to be Christians. Help us not just to act holy, but to be holy. Help us not to just act righteous, but to be righteous. Lord, I pray that in the depths of our soul we'll realize that just as bread goes into the mouth and sustain, gives nutrients to the body, Lord, that Jesus wants to come in and affect every area of our life, that he wants to have first priority and first say in everything that we do, everything that we say. And Lord, when he says this needs to go, may we be faithful and committed and say, I will get rid of this, Lord, because you are asking me. Lord, when we live like that, and when we get rid of the things that you want us to get rid of, Lord, we will never miss them. Because you will satisfy like nothing else. We love you, and we thank you for being our bread of life. In Jesus' name.